Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Welcome in. Let's kick it. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight to start 2025 with the live shows. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with me on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app this evening. Atlanta United has started their preseason journey. We will talk about that. You're going to hear from Derek Williams and Brad Kazan here in just a bit. They spoke to the media today. It's been a little bit of a weird start to preseason, at least on our end, those of us who covered the team. Everything got a little thrown off by the weather event that we had in the metro Atlanta area and all over the state and the southeast over these past couple of days. It's been a little bit of a confusing situation. We're in a situation where Atlanta United has gotten on the field now. They have not been able to have the media out yet, but we did get to speak to Derek and Brad today. You're going to hear from them here in just a bit. And this team is not quite complete yet. We're going to talk about that as well. The striker position is the biggest position in need for Atlanta United. And there's been a lot of conversation about it. There hasn't been a move made yet, which is not exactly a surprise. It is silly season after all. But there have been four different names talked about, I guess, since the month of January started. There was one that's been carrying over a little bit, and there have been three more in the last few days that have come up. We'll talk about all of them in the next segment, but let's start things to hear from two of the senior players in this team, Derek Williams and Brad Kazan. I'm going to start with Derek, and then Brad will be next. In the media availability today that was virtual, I asked both of them, from their experience, these are two veteran players who have been around the block a few times and have been in this situation before where you have a new manager taking over and trying to put his stamp on the team. New coaching staff, although there are a couple of holdovers from the previous coaching staff, Carl Robinson and Matt Lowry continuing on with the group, along with Ronnie Dyla and some new faces that he has brought in that you guys are going to get to hear from and hear about more as we go here in preseason. But for Derek and Brad, they've been in the situation where you're trying to figure out what the new way forward is going to be. And the senior players oftentimes have a big hand in creating that pathway. Let's start with Derek on building the rapport within the group. This was his answer to my question about what's important to accomplish over these first couple of weeks of preseason.
I think it's important that every manager has their principles. It's just sticking to those principles and being strict with them from early on. If you don't see someone doing what they're supposed to be doing, just nipping it in the bud straight away, which I feel like he's going to do. in the meetings that we've had so far, he's been straightforward and saying, this is how I want to play. This is what I expect from you. If you don't, we're going to have a problem. So that's been good. And I think we needed that in this team. Just some discipline. And yes, it's been really positive so far. Still so early. So yeah, it'd be good to work with him on the grass.
That was Derek Williams from earlier today, answering my question about kind of what's important here early on for this team to come together, new coaching staff, maybe new way of doing things, and having to set that tone early on. Here's Brad Gazan answering the same question.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think that happens in day one. It doesn't happen in day two. It probably doesn't happen in week one or week two. It's going to be a process. It is going to be a continuation from day one to day two to day three. And you slowly start to build on each day, right? And so as we get more fit, as we have more understanding and more clarity of what the coach wants, what the staff wants. You know, with that being said, it's they're not trying to reinvent the wheel. And so, you know, the game of soccer isn't, you know, we're not going to come in and you're going to see us play with, you know, one defender and, you know, with not nine strikers and what have you. It's not going to be anything crazy in that sense, but getting an understanding of the principles and what exactly they want. And so that happens gradually for sure. But the quicker we can pick that up, then the quicker we can continue to build on each and every day.
And in your role specifically, how important is it being a mainstay at the club, being a captain, a senior locker room leader, to be that bridge between the staff and the rest of the group?
Yeah, for sure. You know, as a senior player, right, the ability to have those conversations with the staff to kind of help the players, especially some of our newer players. You know, obviously we've got some young guys too that have come in from whether it be the academy or the second team now that are going to be with us quite regularly. In trying to really set a tone that says, right, when we're here, it's business. And we need to train like it. We need to ultimately perform like it when it comes time for games. And like I said, being able to take that one day at a time.
It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore. That was Brad Gazan, Atlanta United captain and longtime goalkeeper, almost from day one. He was under contract at day one, but he was finishing up his time in England, joined in mid-season in 2017. It's important to have guys like Derek and Brad in this group, setting that tone for this group and speeding up the process. I think what Brad said off the top is really important, and you're going to hear more from Brad and Derek here in just a minute. You can't exactly define how long it's going to be. In a perfect world, it's fast. You don't know what will affect it. There could be injuries in preseason. It could just take longer to get form. You could have disruptions due to weather. There's all kinds of different things that can slow down the process, maybe speed the process up as well if things click faster, if guys, you know, hit the ground running. There's no way to sit here today and say they'll be at their best in their 13th practice session. You can't do that. That's not how any of this works. But you have to work towards it, have your eye towards where you're trying to get to. And guys like Derek and Brad, who have been there before and helped others get there before, are so important in getting this team to that destination. Let's hear more from Brad Gazan. This was in answer to a question from Zach Klein of WSB. Kind of about when you know you have a group that you can compete with and kind of where this group is a little bit. I think that's where Brad took it a bit. So here's Brad Gazan kind of looking at the big picture with where Atlanta United is after two training sessions.
First and foremost, you know, obviously the conversations and you know, just talking you know, to Ronnie, that part's been great. And seeing him in the building and whatnot, that part's been really good. And you know, like I said, when you get together for that, it's been 2 days, right? And so when you get together, it's nice when you see familiar faces, you see new faces. You know, it's a bit of the honeymoon period right now, and we're trying to have those conversations and see kind of how everything's going to fit. But it's been good. It really has. And then the second part of the question, you know, we know we have a talented team, right? And listen, it's probably no secret that there's going to be additions coming. And when you add that, it's, yeah, you want to see how those pieces fit. How do they fit into the team? How does the team kind of work around those guys when they come? But it takes time. It takes time because, listen, if two new players come or three new players or 10 new players come and they don't feel comfortable, it doesn't matter what they've done in the past in terms of their individual career. If they don't feel comfortable, we're not going to get the best out of them for Atlanta United. And that's the most important part. So there will be conversations, discussions on the training field in terms of training habits, trying to develop those relationships amongst guys on the field. And, you know, that may take 2 weeks. That may take 2 months. You know, we don't know, right? Obviously, we hope for this sooner. You know, with that being said, we always feel competitive, right? You have this fresh sense of life and this freshness amongst the group at the beginning of the year. And that is our goal. Our goal is to win championships. It always has been. It always will be. And when you have that, you're always going to say, yeah, like, let's give it a go and let's see. But then you've got to factor in adversity. You've got to factor in potential injuries. You've got to factor in all these different things that play a major role throughout an entire season. And hopefully we're able to one, deal with those difficult moments, deal with any injuries that pop up. Hopefully there are none. But you've got to be able to ride those waves and start to develop those relationships. And hopefully, like I said, it's sooner than later.
That was Brad Kazan talking about where this team is in the early, early stages of the 2025 season. One more clip before we go to break. Here's Derek Williams on what the team needs.
I think we need 3 or 4 players just to strengthen. I think there needs to be competition all over the field. So like you said, 2 DPs will be massive for us. For me, the DPs are the ones that win you games a lot of the times, and they're the ones that really can take you over the edge to winning a cup, as we've seen last year with Galaxy. Hopefully we bring in a couple of DPs like that to really push us in to get some more goals. I think maybe a couple of more defenders, a couple of more wingers. But yeah, I trust Garth and Chris to do their... They've been in this league a long time. They know exactly what they need. So yeah, we believe in them, and we're just waiting to get the reinforcements, really.
Speaking of reinforcements, that kind of teases us up for the next segment on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It's been one of the big storylines of preseason for Atlanta United, a new striker to build the team around. Rumors are flying. We'll get caught up on the latest from the hot stove right after this. We'll be back in 5 on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. First edition live of 2025. It's preseason for Atlanta United. It's preseason for us as well on AST, but we got a lot to talk about here in this segment. The Hot Stove League is a term that we use in baseball quite a bit. I actually need to kind of research the history of the phrase. I was fascinated to see, as I like to keep up with what's going on around the world, and it's silly season is what we call it in this sport. with the transfer window being open in January and the major leagues in Europe, as well as most leagues around the world right now. It's open. You're seeing a lot of player movement in South America, for example, a lot of Brazilian clubs, a lot of Argentine clubs. And it was in the Argentine media that they talked about kind of a rough translation of the hot stove. So I like that we're giving that to the world. We're going to go with it here. The stove has mostly been talking about the striker position when it comes to Atlanta United. But there was a report today, in case you missed it, Mariano Olsen out of Colombia, his report indicated that Atlético Nacional made an offer for Edwin Mosquera. It was a loan with a purchase option, and Atlanta United turned that down, according to his report. Atlético Nacional's got their share of issues right now. They won two trophies last season to close out 2024, but Efrain Juarez, their manager, he left. He walked away because of the issues that Nacional is having financially. They're not trying to add any players. They've lost players. They're not trying to spend any money. They're trying to add players, but they're trying to do it like they reportedly did with Mosquera. So it does kind of fit the conversation around it. So Nacional, after winning two trophies, now have to find a new manager, and they're going to have to figure out if they can come up with an offer to satisfy Atlanta United on Edwin Mosquera. Now, Atlanta, according to reports, and Atlanta United's never going to tell you they have or they haven't. That's not how they do business, and you should know by now going into season number 9. You should also know that these kinds of reports and rumors don't really come from the Atlanta side of things, because word doesn't get out of that building in Marietta. It doesn't get out when we're talking about the Falcons either. Things only get out when they're supposed to get out. So in the international world of adding players, you have things popping off from lots of different areas. The first big one of the weekend, it was fascinating how this whole thing developed, and I had to get on the research and figure out why things were going off the way that they did. Emmanuel Latte Lath is the player who reportedly Atlanta United has made an offer for. He is 26 years old, just had his birthday recently. He's from the Ivory Coast. He's currently with Middlesbrough of the English Second Division. Reports started this weekend, and they came from Italy, where Latte Lath is not from Italy directly. We'll get to that in a second. Middlesbrough is not in Italy. Atlanta United is not in Italy. So why would the news come out of Italy? Well, he did start his career at Atalanta as a young player. I'm not quite sure what age he started there in Atalanta. But his agent is from Italy, and this came from Sky Sports Italy, that Atlanta United had made an official offer to Middlesbrough. Now, Sky Sports also followed up with a report today with no details about it. Just keep this in mind. It is silly season. The sentence that they used to explain that I guess things are different than they were after the initial offer is, I'm going to read it verbatim from Sky Sports today. Talks between Atlanta United and Middlesbrough over Emmanuel Latte Lath are reaching the advanced stages, Sky Sports News understands. The rest of the report is the exact same as it's been. I don't know what that means. West Ham is one club to watch that might be in the running here. They have been interested in the past, according to reports. They need a striker due to a very unlucky series of injuries. Ipswich Town made an offer on the last day of the transfer window in the summer for £20 million. Reportedly, Atlanta has offered $18 million guaranteed. The deal could go over 20 if every escalator is hit on it. The reason that deal didn't go down in the summer, because it was the very last day of the transfer window. Middlesbrough didn't have a replacement lined up on short notice. They declined it. After a great first season in Middlesbrough, Latte Lath kind of started slow this season, and his agent talked about this when he got going and said, you know, look, he was probably a little distracted by everything and how it went down. He wants a move to the Premier League. Does he want to move to MLS? I don't know. I'm actually intrigued by that. And I wonder if Middlesbrough will be looking to make a move or hold on to him for the next couple of weeks to see where things shake out in the Premier League. Arsenal, for example, now needs a striker. I don't know if they're going to come in for Latte Lath, but they need a striker after Gabriel Jesus tore his ACL. The other thing about Middlesbrough, and this is something you have to keep in mind when it comes to Latte Lath, is their profit and loss came out for last season here recently, and they lost money. If they want to get better, they have to sell players to do that. I don't think they're going to hold on to Emmanuel Latelath after this window, but I don't know if Atlanta is where he comes. If West Ham comes in, I think that's going to be really tough to say no. Leeds has also been interested, and Leeds has the money to spend if they want to, but that would be more of a sideways move. Kyogo Furuhashi of Celtic, he has been the one that Atlanta has been after the longest, but according to Tom Bogert this weekend, interest has cooled from Atlanta on Kyogo. He did score twice for Celtic over the weekend. Atlanta's chased him since last summer, according to reports, but this kind of dance happened with Yorgos Giakoumakis with Celtic as well, where it was supposed to happen, then it wasn't going to happen, then there was another club interested, and then it happened. So don't be surprised if his name resurfaces. You're already hearing Brendan Rodgers, the manager of Celtic, talk about, well, he doesn't want players that don't want to be there any longer. There were people trying to read into Kyogo's body language after scoring two goals. We'll see. But according to Tom Bogert, Atlanta's interest has cooled because they have reportedly made an offer on Latelath. They're also interested in Odson Edouard, who is on loan at Leicester City from Crystal Palace. He hasn't played a whole lot this season, hasn't even played 10 games this season for Leicester. He did play at Palace before the loan at the very beginning of the season. So he can't join another European club in the current season. You can only play for two clubs in a season. Now, he could move to a league that operates on a different calendar, like Major League Soccer, also like Mexico, like Brazil, like Argentina. He could move to one of those leagues on loan as well. You could move on loan, but he could either at this stage, and Leicester reportedly wants to cancel the loan, he could play for Crystal Palace, or he could go to a league like Major League Soccer. Crystal Palace paid around $18 million for him from Celtic a few years ago. He hasn't quite lived up to that price tag, so I don't know what kind of price tag they would be looking for here. My guess is it'd be less than Kyogo and less than Latelath. When you think there's three players that Atlanta United is looking at in this, as we kind of cover the hot stove league when it comes to Atlanta United and the striker position here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, a new name emerged this morning. According to Turkish media reports, Atlanta are interested in Christoph Piontek from Başakşehir, Turkish first division. He's got 12 goals in 33 games for the Polish national team. He's a current teammate there of Bartosz Ślisz, a former teammate of Mateusz Klik, newly joining Atlanta United for this season. His first season in Turkey was last year, and Piontek scored 17 goals. This season, in 31 games in all competitions, the Turkish League started a little bit earlier. They had to play in the UEFA Conference League qualifiers as well. So he has 23 goals in 31 games in all competitions. He's got 9 goals in 12 UEFA Conference League games, including those qualifiers. He leads the Turkish League in goals so far this season. Before leaving Poland, he kind of broke out at the club Cracovia, went to Genoa in Serie A, took Italy by storm, had an amazing year. Big money transfer from Genoa to Milan in January of 2019. Milan wasn't very good at the time, and he kind of struggled to get going there. They moved him on a year later to Hertha Berlin, January 2020. Remember, COVID-19 hit the world and shut a lot of things down soon after that. Very awkward to be moving to a different league. Very awkward to be away from home. Lots of players suffered during that time, and form was very hard to manage. Piontek was loaned back to Serie A clubs, Fiorentina, Salernitana. He didn't have a lot of success. He made the move to Başakşehir. He's had all the success. There were reports in Turkey before Atlanta United's name came up that an MLS club had offered 10 million euro for Piontek. The next day, and that's this morning, according to the reports out of Turkey, that club was Atlanta United. Last week, there were reports of Fenerbahce being interested. So you have a Polish national team player who's leading the Turkish first division in goal scoring this season. You have a French player who hasn't played a whole lot on loan and needs a new place to rebuild his career. You have a Japanese player in Kyogo who, it sounds like, interest is cooled, but he's scoring goals for Celtic, and it's starting to seem like maybe he's ready to leave Scotland. And then you have Emmanuel Latelath, who reportedly an offer has been made for him. And according to Sky Sports Today, they're in the advanced stages of getting a deal done, but there has also been Premier League interest in signing him. And would he want to wait that out? It's going to be fascinating. The hot stove will be boiling over all throughout the next few weeks until the window closes in Europe. It won't close in MLS. You could still add a player later, as we saw last season, but I don't know what that timing's going to look like. We're going to have to keep an eye on a lot of different places around the world now when it comes to who will be the next striker for Atlanta United. I know what's coming up next here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, though. It's the 3-4-3. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about the game that I love so much. Stay with us. Atlanta Soccer Tonight will be right back on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football is hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Crossing over the end of the 11 o'clock hour, I'm Jason Longshore. Y'all know how this show ends by now. We've been doing this a few years. It's time for the 3-4-3, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories you need to know about, four headlines from around the world, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start with the local side. Georgia State Panthers in the transfer portal when it comes to men's soccer. I know we've been talking a lot about the transfer portal in some other sports, but Joel Gonzalez is transferring to Georgia State for the fall season in 2025, heading in from Lexington, Kentucky, where he had a great freshman year with the University of Kentucky, a really good Kentucky squad in that season. They didn't have as good of a year last year. Gonzalez had some injuries as well. He's coming back to Atlanta for his junior season with Georgia State. He was a top center back with the Atlanta United Academy, a little bit of a late bloomer. Really excelled with the last age group that he played with, the U19s, and earned that opportunity at the University of Kentucky. Excited to see him at Georgia State, where there will be some opportunities for him to play a lot of minutes in front of friends and family here in Atlanta. Number two on the local side of things, Carly Banks. She was called up to the U.S. Women's Futsal National Team for their latest training camp. Carly starred at Stars Mill High School, where she won a state championship alongside Kelly O'Hara. She's coaching currently on the youth side at AFC Lightning, along with playing in the summer USLW League with Swarm FC. She's played all over the world. She was a star at LSU in college. She's played professionally all over the world. This is the second time the U.S. Women's National Futsal Team has had a training camp, and she's been a part of both of them, the only Georgia player at both. So this is the first of three training camps prior to the 2025 CONCACAF Women's Futsal Championship. That'll be in April. That's going to also be qualification for the first ever FIFA Women's Futsal World Cup. That'll be November, December in the Philippines. So following this month's camp, the Futsal Women's National Team will gather to play their first international matches between February and March in San Jose, Costa Rica. Then they'll have another training camp in April. Then the final roster will be named for the CONCACAF tournament and the World Cup qualifiers. Number three on the local side of things, if you're looking for a game to watch this weekend, the UPSL National Quarterfinal between Soda City FC of Columbia, South Carolina, and Current FC from New Smyrna Beach in Florida. That's going to be played on Saturday at the MOBA Soccer Complex in Peachtree City. Kickoff is set for 3 o'clock. If you can't make it out, you can watch that match on the Atlantic Soccer Media Group YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed to them. They cover the UPSL here locally extremely well. I call games for them. I won't be calling this one. I will be there and be part of the broadcast. But Jessica Charman and Madison Cruz will be on the call. It'll be the first female-led national broadcast for the UPSL. Also, big-time congrats to Jess for a great three seasons with Charlotte FC. She'll be moving on to focus on TV work with the NWSL and the USL Super League in 2025. You're also going to get to hear a good bit from her here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight and on the SDH Network. All right, four headlines from around the world. Number one, Major League Soccer. A lot of player movement going on around the league. Get refreshed on it as teams will look a little bit different. And we'll talk about it throughout the preseason. But I wanted to focus on this tonight. Rule changes that were announced today. The three biggest elements of a... I don't know if you print the thing out, how many pages it's going to be. There were a lot of changes to the rules. I think in general, very, very good ones. The three big ones I want to bring to the table for you tonight. Number one, MLS clubs may now use an unlimited amount of cash, straight cash, homie, to trade for players. So now you have an internal transfer market in Major League Soccer. So you can still make trades for general allocation money or super draft picks or international roster spots, but you can also just straight up cut a check. Take a bag of cash, take a sack of nickels. I don't know, whatever it's going to take. You can buy two players that way from within MLS per season, and you can trade away two players in that way per season. Similar to transfer fees, clubs may convert the revenue generated from these trades to general allocation money in the same way, like Caleb Wiley, Atlanta United, converting that to $3 million in general allocation money, which expands their cap. So selling players is good. It helps you bring in more players. It helps your cap get bigger. Also, the cash spent to acquire a player will be the same way as it is now. For an international player, it will go towards the player's salary budget charge. So the acquisition cost and their salary will hit the salary cap. So you have to think about that as well. Another element to the rule changes today. A club may now buy out two guaranteed contracts, including a designated player. You can do two each season now. Used to be one. It can also be done in season or during the off season. If it's in season, it's got to be done by the close of the secondary transfer window. That leads me to the third point I wanted to bring to the table tonight. The 2025 transfer windows will see that secondary transfer window, the summer window, shift backwards a little bit. About the same length, but it will shift back by about a week. It will end on August 21st of 2025. Doesn't quite get you in alignment with the European windows, but it makes it a little bit easier. And if you heard the special podcast that I did late last season, with Atlanta United's Garth Lagerwey, and we dug into the rules, an element that the club struggled with trying to add a striker then was that European clubs had two more weeks to try to go out and get a better deal. And that hurt Atlanta United in that market. There's still going to be time for clubs to do that, but not as much time. It will help. It doesn't fix the issue, but it will help in the summer window in 2025. A lot of clubs are trying to get a lot of deals done in this window, the current window, in the beginning of the season. Atlanta United's one of them. We'll keep you up to date on all of those hot stove rumblings as we go here in preseason. Number two on the world headlines, Nottingham Forest. They drew 1-1 with Liverpool today at home. Great game. Lots of drama in this one. Nottingham Forest beat Liverpool earlier this year at Anfield. They drew at home in this one, so they have not lost to the team leading the Premier League. They do still have a six-point lead, Liverpool, over Nottingham Forest. Game in hand for Liverpool as well. Nottingham Forest really needed to win this, I think, to have a legit chance at winning the league, which would be a bigger shock than Leicester winning it a few years ago. But I think Nottingham Forest showed that they are absolutely a team that can qualify for the Champions League and push Liverpool for a good while here. They got the early lead. Liverpool ended up finding the equalizer after a couple of subs. Brilliant timing on that from Arne Slot. And a manager that, look, I've never really been a huge fan of, Nuno Espirito Santo. if you love defensive soccer, you're going to love it. But when they break out, Nottingham Forest is electric on the break. But they're very defensive in their structure. I think that has a short shelf life. I think teams will eventually figure that out. We'll see how long Nottingham Forest can ride that out. But if they qualify for the Champions League, that could be a transformative moment for the club. Number three on the world headlines will stay in England. And this was something I mentioned in the last segment. Arsenal will likely be now in the market for a new striker, as Gabriel Jesus had to have surgery on his, or will have surgery, hasn't had it yet, on his left knee, sustained an ACL injury in the FA Cup third round loss to Manchester United on Sunday. It didn't look good at the time, and now we get the news today that he will have to have that surgery on his left knee. Arsenal also trying to push Liverpool. They're going to have to go find a striker. I just don't think they have enough in-house. We'll see kind of where they're looking to go buy and what kind of player they're looking for here. Number four on the headlines, the U.S. men's national team. They have two games here in January, and the first one is on Saturday afternoon. They're going to host Venezuela in Fort Lauderdale at Chase Stadium. 4 days after that, they're going to take on Costa Rica in Orlando. That's going to conclude the first ever January camp for Mauricio Pochettino. And he kind of leaned into what the U.S. soccer has done with this January camp here for a while. Bring in mostly MLS players, bring in guys you want to take a look at, and see where their level's at. This roster, for me, Diego Luna, Brian Gutierrez, two playmakers in Major League Soccer that I love their game. Can they go to another level? John Tolkien, can he continue to elevate his level? Jesus Ferreira is back in the team as well. He also just got traded to Seattle Sounders in a blockbuster move in MLS. We'll be curious to see where his head is at with national team camp. Tim Ream's the only player in this current squad who played in the U.S. last game, the 4-2 win over Jamaica, during the CONCACAF Nations League quarterfinals. And he's only going to play the game against Venezuela, according to his club manager, Dean Smith. He will be headed back to Charlotte for that second game. He won't play against Costa Rica in Orlando. Patrick Adjiman, another player that I'm really excited to see in this group, he will be with the U.S. for both of those games. All right, three things that make me smile about the game as we wrap up this first live edition of 2025. I shared it on my X account earlier today. Pulga Rodriguez. If you don't know Pulga Rodriguez, and it's very possible that you don't, just go to YouTube and do a search for Pulga Rodriguez. You're going to see a player who at first glance you're like, what? Like, why am... If you just see his face, you just see his body, you see how he moves, you're just going to be like, why? What is this? And then you'll see some of the goals he scores. This guy's unbelievable. One of my all-time favorite players. A folk hero in the game. He scored a goal today for Atletico Tucumán, which is ridiculous. It's even more ridiculous if you know Pulga's story. He was in a car crash that nearly killed him a few years ago. Came out of that, returned to play. He's 40 years old now. And he is still scoring just absolutely ridiculous goals. One of the most talented technical players I have ever seen. Not athletic, maybe hard to pin down in a team system, but when he is on, he does things that will just blow your mind. And this goal that he scored today for Tucumán, incredible. Pulga Rodriguez, it's great to see him still doing his thing at 40 years old. Number two, things that make me smile. Sometimes it's a few different kinds of smiles. Silly season. You're going to see rumors from everywhere. You're going to hear crazy rumors. You're going to see a story here in the last couple weeks of the European window. Somebody, it's going to be a shocking move. It's going to happen. There's going to be somebody that goes somewhere and you're just like, what? This makes no sense. Arsenal and West Ham are two clubs to think about with that crazy move. They both have injury issues at the striker position, and they both have some desperation about getting a deal done. Keep an eye on that. But you're going to see and hear some things that will be very, very interesting. They might not come to fruition, but it's going to be fun to follow. And that last day of the window in Europe is always hilarious when you have the reporters outside of like training grounds trying to stick a microphone in somebody's car window to get some kind of quote or quip or what have you. Silly season is fun. Sometimes it's a more of a cynical smile. Sometimes it's a legit smile. Sometimes it's just a laugh. But I enjoy the silly season when you can take a step back and not get too wrapped up in it. Number three, things that make me smile about this game, the start of a new season. And Atlanta United has gotten that start underway on the training pitch in Marietta. Can't wait to get out there and see what this group is looking like, see who is training with them from Atlanta United 2, from the Atlanta United Academy. It's always fun to see things get rolling. I cannot wait. And not this weekend, but the following weekend, we'll actually get to see this team in action on the field against an opponent in Chattanooga. Thank you for hanging out with me tonight. Atlanta Soccer Tonight will be back next Tuesday, 10 p.m. You can always listen on the Off the Woodwork podcast from 92.9 The Game. Make sure you are subscribed to that wherever you get your podcasts. Adios, everybody.